the Gary Moore Show. Your host, Gary Miller.
Hi, everyone. I'm Gary Noll. Today, we're going to learn about how eating junk food can give you food allergies. University of Naples in Italy, published in the Gerontological Journal. We're also going to take a look at the question of socialism, because I see people weaponizing the words, using it against each other, and either they are being disingenuous, they know what it really means, or they don't. I'll try to clarify that today and show you the utter hypocrisy in this entire discussion, including the hypocrisy and the lack of any sense of scholarship when it comes to universal health care, which we could afford if we did it right. Also today, we're going to do our talkback segment. You'll have a chance at any time during the program where you hear something that you'd like to respond to, please do. Our talkback number is 888-874-4888. We'll also go to your calls today on our voicemail line. That number is 862-800-6805. We're going to hear something that I'm seeing more and more of. I believe we're at a tipping point, and that is mainstream Orthodox physicians and scientists coming forward to criticize mainstream Orthodox science and medicine. It is no longer the providence of someone outside of the system who was once in the system, saw how it didn't work, to make these criticisms. And it's not just a few voices. There are thousands. We're going to start playing you some of those, and including today, you'll be hearing from a medical doctor who says this: big food and big pharma are killing people for profits. This is very interesting. We'll continue with our series on 5G. 5G and mind control. Is there a connection? And also Professor Barry Trower, brilliant scholar on electromagnetic frequencies. I'm going to just play you one clip per day. Today it's about irreparable DNA damage from non-ionizing radiation. It's only a minute 20 seconds long, but it's informative. If you can't listen to the program or all of it in real time, Monday to Friday, noon to 1 Eastern Standard Time, go to the archives. Write down the number, please. 701-719-9976. Now to the latest. And really, we don't need a study for this. It's just common sense and personal observation. A study presented by researchers from the University of Naples at the annual meeting of the European Society of Pediatric Gastroenterology, Hepatology, and Nutrition found that children with food allergies had higher levels of a compound that is associated with junk food in their skin. The compounds are known as advanced glycation end products. Now, those of you who've attended the lectures I've done or the workshops or clinical studies, I always begin by discussing advanced glycation end products. You'll remember when I give you the example. I give you the example of take a plump, moist chicken, put it in the oven. 2 hours later, you take it out, it's brown and crisp. Well, that process has converted natural proteins into very tightly bound proteins and amino acids, plus the darkening of bread, darkening of a bagel, a potato chip, a French fry. That causes another problem. Those are acrylamides. These are very toxic chemicals, also carcinogenic. So the more French fries, potato chips, pretzels, bagels that you eat, the more these acrylamides you accumulate. Not good. But now for the protein, that leads to what are called AGE, A-G-E, small s. And that means that these are proteins or lipids that become glycated after they're exposed to sugars. and junk foods are filled with these, and they're known to play a role in increasing the risk of conditions like oxidative stress, diabetes, atherosclerosis, neurological diseases. So quite simply, if you're a young person or an adult and you're consuming a lot of junk food, which most are, then you're going to end up with a lot of allergies. And allergies are on the rise. And by the way, this is in addition to vaccines creating lifetime allergies as well. So that's the latest on that. Now, from Nihon University in Japan comes a study about the neuro, that means your neurons, protective mechanisms of S-allyl-cysteine. That is quite simply an amino acid that is found in sulfur-containing products like garlic and onions and shallots. And it's anti-inflammatory, anti-cancer, but more important in this study, it helps protect the oxidative damage that can be due from a stroke or leading to a stroke or Alzheimer's or dementia. So the news corresponds to a lot of research now that one of the biggest problems we have is a diet filled with pro-oxidants and inflammation in all of our tissue. More inflammation in the arteries, atherosclerosis. More in the prostate, well, hyperplasia of the prostate. More in the breast, breast cancer. More in the ovaries, ovarian cancer. More in the lungs, lung cancer. More in the eyes, macular degeneration, cataracts, and glaucoma. More in the brain, everything from ALS to Alzheimer's, dementia, etc. So the key is turning off all of these different types of inflammatory agents. And here goes the good news is when you have garlic and onions, you're doing exactly the right thing for your brain. Last week, I discussed on two separate occasions the dangers of sitting too long. Now, think back. Think to when people went to the office in the morning in the 1930s and 40s and 50s and 60s and 70s and 80s. It was expected to show a sense of discipline by how long you could sit in that chair. Outside of getting up to go to the restroom or for breaks, you could be in that chair about 6 hours a day, every day. Then you go home and you sit. Arizona State University published an article in the Journal of the American Heart Association saying the more sitting you do, the higher your heart disease risk, and especially if you're an older woman. So we have, what have we done? When was the last time those of you who are baby boomers like myself can remember the older people were always told, take it easy, you know, take it easy. So if they sat all day, that was considered normal. It wasn't. It was exactly what contributed to osteoporosis, wasting of the muscles, atrophying of the brain, everything that we could cause bad in a person we actually encouraged because we were dealing with an innocent concept of ageism, meaning it wasn't derogatory. We weren't using this to hurt someone or demean them or shame them. We were simply stupid. So just the opposite is true. The older you are, the more vigorous you should make an effort to be every day throughout the day. That's important because it could help you. Otherwise, you're going to end up in trouble. Green tea extract is combined with exercise and reduces fatty liver disease. This is from Penn State University. So what it's saying is this. When you combine, I'm going to say, 200 to 400 milligrams of green tea in the morning in a nice, let's say, ideally green apple lemon juice. That's the best way of alkalizing your body in the morning, helping your joints, getting rid of a lot of lactic acid, flushing the lymphatic system. It's terrific on all levels. You drink that, then go out for an exercise. That can reduce the severity of overweight-related fatty liver disease by 75% in this laboratory experiment. So that's good news. And it can also help you with the high risk factors associated with being overweight and diabetes. In fact, it is estimated that in America alone, we will have in the next 10 years, 100 million Americans suffering from fatty liver disease. Now, mind you, that's not cirrhosis. That's not from alcohol. which typically is destroying your liver. This is from sugar and processed carbohydrates in the diet. This was published in the Journal of Nutritional Biochemistry. Cannabis could be an alternative treatment for pain and sleep trouble. This is the fourth such study I've shared with you. This is University of Miami School of Medicine, published in the Journal of Psychoactive Drugs. 1,000 people were taking marijuana legally, and 65% of the people reported that their cannabis reduced their pain substantially. Extremely beneficial. And so one more reason to make it legal in all 50 states. And then I would say for all of the farmers who are struggling, get together with all the farm associations in your state, in your communities, lobby to get hemp growing in your state. First of all, hemp gives you a better quality protein than meat and chicken and fish. Secondly, it absorbs more carbon. It grows 4 times faster than a tree, so you can grow and harvest it sooner. You can make clothes. Anything you can make out of cotton, you can make out of hemp, and therefore saving that enormous drain on water that cotton requires and the pesticides used on the cotton to prevent a cotton beetle and a fungus from destroying it. Hemp is one of the most hardy plants that you can grow. It has very few predators. So think of all the good that could come if we began to grow hemp to relieve the farmer of the traditional burdens of what are now an absolutely non-sustainable future. Raising livestock, that's no starter. The high use of water when you don't have it anymore, that's necessary. You have to find a transition. I'm suggesting hydroponics. Now, in the very near future, in the next 8 weeks, I'll be filming and streaming live as a public service how to construct your own greenhouse, what to grow, and how to get 300% increase in the crop at 2/3 the time in savings using gray water recycling and making it organic so you're virtually impervious from drought and storms. So I'll share that with you. Many of you could do this right in your backyard, by the way. And community gardens could certainly do it. I'll do a complete diagram description. I'll do a schematic of it also. And then I'll just share it. Whoever wants to use it can. But you'll actually see it. And then I'm filming in time-lapse photography a plot of vegetables I'm growing on the ground and the same identical seedlings I'm growing inside. So you'll see in time-lapse photography how quickly the one grows, how slow the other, how few gallons of water I use on the hydroponic, how much I use in the ground. So it'll be a good demonstration. And then what if we told farmers we would help them first by putting a moratorium on all farm foreclosures? Any president, and of course we haven't had any president since Eisenhower, who was sympathetic with the average American, and especially the average American farmer, would see that no more people lost their life savings and their property because of the stupidity of property taxes or the mortgage they can't pay. There'd be a forgiveness program. But imagine this. We could take 90% of all the farmland out of production in the United States, change over how we're growing foods and what we're growing, and then replant trees, which would be carbon sinks, and we could plant at least 2 billion trees in the farmlands in the United States. So suddenly we would have green in Arizona, Nevada, New Mexico, and other places. So it would help with global warming, help the farmer, and it would show that we're actually doing something as stewards of the planet. By the way, there's a University of California Davis study published in the Journal of Alternative and Complementary Medicine that shows there are specific nutrients that can help with dermatitis. These would be vitamin C, E, D, zinc, selenium, copper, strontium, and those specifically can help with atopic dermatitis. By the way, that's a chronic inflammatory skin condition that affects more than 18 million adults in the United States, it's the most common type of eczema. It manifests as a kind of red, itchy rash on the arms, cheeks, and/or legs. And there are a lot of different causes for it. The immune system, dysfunction, genetics, environmental factors all can contribute to it, but it's an inflammation which causes the redness and itchiness typical of this. And it can be triggered by internal or external elements. Bacterial infection could do it. People sleeping in motels don't realize you should take, and it's not expensive, take a little bacteria of blue light. And so just scan the bed and the sheet. See if you got bed bugs. See if you got anything there that is going to get on your skin and cause that irritation. But micronutrients really help atopic dermatitis, also massaging in coconut oil. For example, vitamin C, which is ascorbic acid, is well known. It allows the body to reduce this oxidative damage in the cells. And that is very important in the epidermis because, let's see, well, when you increase your vitamin C levels, it can help with the atopic dermatitis as it improves ceramide, that's C-E-R-A-M-I-D-E, production in the epidermis. And ceramides are the major building blocks of the skin's lipid barrier, which is crucial for the organ's barrier function. Vitamin E also is good. Vitamin D, they're all good if you want to help yourself. And a good blood supply is important for your memory. This is from the German Center for Neurodegenerative Diseases and as well as the University of Magdeburg. So let me boil it down to this. Memory performance and other cognitive abilities benefit from a good blood supply to the brain. This applies in particular to people affected by a condition known as sporadic cerebral small vessel disease. But it's good in all. And this was published in the peer-reviewed journal Brain. And so what if you really break it down real simple? Exercise increases circulation. That's why we should do it. And of the nutrients, ginkgo biloba would be at the top of my list. And the University of Londrina in Brazil, the anti-inflammatory effects of antioxidants on multiple sclerosis, a good story showing how they were able to improve the multiple sclerosis patients with a full spectrum of these micro vitamins and minerals. And fast food intake leads to weight gain in preschoolers, Dartmouth College. I don't think we needed that study, but it's there. And the University of South Australia, the Mother Nature and Child Development. Interesting article because it's a world-first review of the importance of nature in helping transform children's play spaces, supporting investment in city and urban parks, while also delivering important opportunities for children's physical, social, and emotional development. And it was conducted at the University of South Australia. The review explored the impacts of what nature does on the health and development of children ages 2 to 12. And I'll just give you the bottom line. The more your child is able to go out and play in the trees and the little forts and run around the plants and play in the rocks, the healthier they're going to be, the more relaxed they're going to be. And this was, they looked at 2,927 peer-reviewed articles, 16 separate studies. And they found that let your kid have unstructured time. Let them be free to play in nature, the forest, the green spaces, the outdoor, the gardens. They don't get that anymore. Everything is controlled by parents who shouldn't have had the children, in my opinion. Woe do we have the most dysfunctional generation of parents in history. I mean, they couldn't get any worse. I don't know how you could create a parent that is any worse but feels that they are absolutely right. They're absolutely self-righteously convinced that being a micromanaging, control everything parent. And they're so wrong. Think of all the plastic. Everything is plasticized to death. Just to buy a battery, you have to have scissors to open up the darn battery case. Where do you think that plastic goes? It goes into the ocean. So do you ever hear these people saying maybe it's okay not to overdo something? Because once you get one of these professional people started, a lawyer, doctor, engineer, a hedge fund owner, they don't know when to stop. There's no cautionary principle in any decision they make. It's just full steam ahead in whatever they do. I'm going to do a whole lecture on this at their upcoming retreat about how did we get to be a nation of narcissists, megalomaniacs, self-righteous, woke people who are the dumbest people I've ever met in my life and the most incompatible with being around. And certainly they should be mandated wear condoms, because what comes out at the end is a kid that's going to be despising their parents, thinking they're entitled, not knowing what the hell to do in this world, confused about everything, and woke to nothing. Anything sets them off. So what is the outcome? Do we just sit back and watch this stupidity, or do we engage? Because it's about time for the pushback on everything. I mean everything, including a stupid two-party system that is corrupt. But that's just my own personal opinion. We're going to take a break, and then when we come back, I'm going to share some actual factual material, something you don't get from CNN, MSNBC, and the other idiot networks, about socialism, because these people are just off the deep end. Back in a moment. Please stay with us. Nice to have you with us, everyone. I'm Gary Nall. What is socialism? Well, there's no way to determine it today. Pure socialism is where no one can really do anything without the state. The state controls the access to and permission for the production of all product and services. Now, if you want to see some hybrid of socialism and communism, Stalinism and Maoism, these are all hyper. They changed and shifted over periods of time. Those have nothing to do with what we're talking about today. They keep saying, but look at Sweden and look at Norway and look at Finland and look at Switzerland. Well, none of those are socialist. First of all, they're capitalist, but with a difference. They have a very high tax structure. And you can't get out of that taxation simply because you hired a bunch of lawyers. You have to pay. But then it is agreed that for those higher taxes, the money does not go in to the military-industrial complex of a given country. Instead, it goes into the schools for free education. It goes into the medical system for free health care. It goes into maternity leave for husbands and, you know, wives, both. So a person benefits from it and can actually be life-saving. And the quality of their care, quality of their education is good. Finland has one of the highest quality educational systems in the world, if not the number one in the world. And it's not just about tests, who's got the best grades, who passed the test, because you can be tutored to teach to the test without any concept of critical thinking. So the difference between our pure capitalist system, which it is not, and Sweden's so-called socialist system, which it is not allowing the rich and powerful to exclude being taxed. Now, see, in the United States, we have a system that is utterly and completely corrupt at every level. That's what's led to income inequality and the suffering people have. Let me give you a few examples. For example, we did a meticulous and scholarly review of our medical system and why it fails. It was called Death by Medicine. It's up online. You can read it for yourself. Five of us, all MD, PhDs, and MDs or PhDs, all with a background in academic science, and worked on it for 5 years. We only used Orthodox Medicine's figures. No subjectivity, no editorializing, and it just showed that for everything that we were taught to believe was the right answer, they're almost always wrong. Well, how could everyone get it so wrong about everything, including elevated cholesterol will kill you? It's not true. Too low cholesterol can kill you. It was because of special interests controlling the narrative. They could control the narrative, but they didn't control the facts. When we presented the facts, nobody would respond to it. We sent it out to 10,000 medical and scientific journals. Not a single one would touch it or even respond. It's like a secret nobody wanted to talk about. The number one cause of death and injury in the United States is medicine, iatrogenesis. Others did pick it up and published it, which was good. So we're dealing with a $3.5 trillion bill every year. And here's the problem. If you look at the different candidates, including Elizabeth Warren and almost all the others, they want some form of relief from the high cost of medicine, but they're never specific. We've made it simple. We showed you where all the money goes. For example, over testing. You're going to be tested and you go in almost any doctor's office in America for things you needn't be tested for. Over prescribing. Why? It's called defensive medicine. If someone gets sued, they want to be able to show they did every test there was and they got them on every medication possible, and therefore they're relieved of any responsibility. But it also means you're putting over $250 billion into the medical doctors and the hospitals and laboratories' pockets that don't deserve to be there. The biggest single expense is administration. It's about 33%. That means that more people are engaged in billing than in practicing medicine and nursing combined. Well, that's a big number. Yeah, it is a big number. It's a huge number. So if you took everyone else working in medicine, everyone, all the scientists, universities, and put them in a room, you'd have 10 times more people working in the room that get to collect upwards of $1 trillion a year. That's with a T, $1 trillion a year. If you have universal health care and you bring it under Medicare, you eliminate all that. So now you save in that. Then you have prevention. And you teach that in medical school as a curriculum. You teach it in the high schools. You teach how to prevent disease, because at least 78% of all diseases can be prevented. But it requires educating people. Otherwise, people will do what they're told on television to do. And if they keep seeing the same ads, you know, like the, which was the one yesterday? It was for a bourbon commercial. Well, if you got bourbon commercial and you're using words to make it sound like, you know, gentle and quiet and smooth, well, it's none of the above. It's really, really bitter. And if you just took a bottle of any of the alcohol, high proof, and you stuck your finger in it, put it on your tongue would begin to burn. When you drink orange juice, apple juice, grape juice, tomato juice, grapefruit juice, you don't suddenly, you know, have to gasp and grimace and say, wow. No, it goes down smooth. That's what the body benefits from. There's no benefit whatsoever in alcohol. But what if you had a split screen and you actually showed the truth? On the left side of the screen, you see a famous actress, and she's trying to make you believe that this is the real McCoy. This is the oldest bourbon made in America. And see all these people, the guy with the long beard that looked out like he was out of the Duck Dynasty, which the average IQ, I think, was 19 to watch the that television series. Whoa. They were even worse than the Kardashians. But it's just, it's something that rots your body. Now, what if on the right side, now here's what happens when that one drink goes in your body. You just killed 1 million brain cells, 1 million heart cells, 1 million liver cells, 1 million kidney cells, and created massive oxidative stress. So you're prematurely aging yourself. By how much? And then you have a clock for every drink. Here's how many hours you're taking off your lifespan. Would you change? Maybe, maybe not. Depends upon the degree of your enculturation. How much propaganda have you accepted? And therefore, there's no truth that you're willing to accept, only the illusion. So if you put prevention, real prevention, that the industry has nothing about controlling, of what can prevent disease, like exercise, stress management, detoxification, cleansing, rejuvenation, you could save at least $500 billion a year in diseases. You simply don't get sick. But we don't do any of that. Zero. Zip. Do you even know the name of the Surgeon General of the United States? No. Do you know the head of the National Institutes of Health? No, of course not. How about the head of the CDC? No. So the very people are the policymakers who are all aligned and in the pocket of major corporations that profit from you being misinformed. They're the only ones who are allowed to have power. It is a malignant form of medical metastasis where the system itself is spreading its deadly cells into every part of society. So no matter where you go, you're going to find one of them there guarding the gates. So if you did the following, if you simply took the excess profit out of all of medicine, then you wouldn't have a guy getting a $163,000 bill for a snake bite. You wouldn't have a person that was transferred from one hospital to another hospital, 40-mile ride, $35,000 bill. That's just for the ride. You wouldn't have the number one cause for bankruptcy for at least 10 years being medical bills, and you wouldn't have a private prison system that can arrest and imprison people for a non-payment of medical bills, which just happened last week. I posted this on my Facebook page today. So you see, all of them are wrong. Bernie Sanders, all of them. Are they just that stupid? Possibly. I've never met a politician. And by the way, if you only knew how many of the people, the famous ones I've had dinner with, met with one-on-one, and I just couldn't believe how dumb they were, how disconnected, because they're just the spokesperson. They're like a robot that when no one's around, they just kind of turn off. It's their whole staff that's in play, the technocrats, who are out there from 6 in the morning going to the breakfasts sponsored by this, and then the 8 o'clock sponsored by that, and then 10 o'clock sponsored by this, in the evening, this, every lunch, every dinner, everyone's sponsoring because everyone's putting money into someone's pocket. In return, they get to write bills, they get to change laws. That's how the system is. It's totally corrupt. So if you banned all lobbying, if you had term limits of one term, that's it, one term, 4 years for every job, you can't run again. If you took all money out of all politics, you had to do it by lottery, then we would clean up the system. You have to do the same thing with medicine. You have to take the profit out of the hospitals, the administration, the excessive drug gouging prices. When you do that, you're going to save $1.7 trillion a year, which means that Medicare for All would be not only no debt to us at all, it would improve the health outcome of people, save lives, prevent disease, and no longer we have these bankruptcies. So if they want the details, anyone close to any of these legislators want to give them something that actually is literate, is fully documented and backed up with no lobbying and no special interest, just good quality information, because not one of them, not Joe Biden, none of them know the truth about any of this. So you do now, and you can go online and read it because we posted this in detail. Now, similarly, when it comes to socialism, we just have people who are not paying attention. Please pay attention. If we were to charge every single corporation or every person doing business 20% taxes, that's it, 20%, but allow no deductions, none, no income tax, no IRS, you would bring in an additional $1.3 trillion. If you put a 1% tax on every single trade on Wall Street, including all the algorithm trades, that would bring in billions of dollars per year. If you gave a redemption fee of 20% on all income that's parked outside the United States, it's been estimated anywhere, no one knows exactly, but from $16 trillion to $31 trillion is parked by individuals and corporations and their divisions in other countries like Ireland, the island of Jersey, down in the Bahamas. So you say, okay, you pay us 20% to the U.S. Treasury, and you get to bring all that money in, and it won't be taxed again. Well, that would bring additional money back into the United States. We would get the taxes on it, and that would give us around the neighborhood of $6 trillion. So we're saving money by people not deducting. Now, here's how it works. As I mentioned, in other countries, depending upon who's in control, there has to be income. Someone has to earn money for other people to get the benefits of that. Otherwise, you're under pure state control. And nobody wants that. So why don't we stop pretending, and maybe someone could send this message to Sean Hannity and Laura Ingraham, stop attacking the social Democrats. And don't try to equate the social Democrats with Hitler. Social Democrats or Christian, Democrats or the Christian Socialist Democrats. It's all stupid. And it shows just a lack of scholarship. In point of fact, the corporate socialism in the United States dwarfs anything we do for the average person. Here's what corporate socialism is. It's where the corporations socialize their losses, meaning we the people pay for it, but they privatize their gains. We the people do not get to enjoy any of their profits. Since the 2008 recession, 99% of all new generated income has gone to the wealthiest 1% of Americans. Companies that fail in the marketplace, they're just not able to do it for whatever reason. They stick we the taxpayers with their losses. But when they make money, no, they keep it all. Corporate socialism in the past few decades has been the use of tax havens abroad, as I mentioned. Now, a 2015 study conducted by the Citizens for Tax Justice and U.S. Public Interest Research Group Education Fund found that the largest 500 companies in the United States keep more than $2.1 trillion in tax havens. University of Iowa estimates that state and local governments provide $40 to $50 billion every year in economic development incentives. U.S. companies paid $92 billion less in taxes in 2018 than 2017 at a time when revenue is needed more than ever, and these companies made more profit. Let me just give you examples, because mine are not theoretical. U.S. cities and states gave big tech $9.3 billion in subsidies in 5 years, meaning Apple, Amazon, Facebook, Google, Foxconn, etc., by increasing large tax breaks in return for promise of job creation. Trouble is, it was never fully performed. They didn't create the jobs. The largest award was $4.8 billion and went to Foxconn. That's the Taiwanese manufacturer of the iPhone and PlayStation and other electronic goods. In Nevada, Tesla's Gigafactory received $1.3 billion in tax benefits, the largest such subsidy the state has ever awarded. Many retail stores, especially big box retailers, and in some cases entire shopping centers, legally keep the sales taxes you pay at the cash register. That is because government bought the land, often after condemning it through eminent domain, and had the buildings erected to the specifications of the companies. But the land and building are actually owned by a government entity, and the cost of buying the land and putting up the building are paid for with your tax dollars. Walmart, a distribution center in McClinney, Florida, received $9 million in government subsidies in the form of free land, government-funded recruitment and training of employees, targeted tax breaks, and housing subsidies for employees, allowing them to be paid significantly lower wages. A study by Good Jobs first found that 244 Walmarts around the country had received over $1 billion in government favors. Did they pass that on to you? Nope. Kept it. Oxfam, America's analysis shows how four U.S. drug companies, Johnson & Johnson, Merck, Pfizer, and Abbott, save $1.7 billion from the cut in the U.S. corporate tax rate while receiving an estimated windfall of $5.3 billion thanks to the rebate on previously untaxed offshore earnings. Yahoo in Lockport, New York, received $2 million for every job it creates in the area, which pays an average of $45,000. So get this right. They get $2 million for a job that they pay $45,000 annually for. Did you know this? Are you aware you're paying for this? Alcoa receives $5.6 billion in electricity discounts from New York State, which would be better spent decreasing utility rates for all the residents across the state. Boeing has received billions in subsidies to build a plant in South Carolina. Energy Policy Act of 2005 gave $15 billion to the oil, gas, and coal industries. Oil and gas companies deduct intangible drilling costs, nearly all of the expenditures a company makes to prepare a well for production, which lowers their taxable income significantly. Fracking companies even get government tax deductions for depleting oil shale deposits and polluting our water, which they don't have to clean up. Cabela Corporation received $32 million in government subsidies to build the largest outdoor recreational gear store in the country in Hamburg, Pennsylvania, while a local competitor who sold the same products at lower prices went out of business. Some of the largest subsidies, all socialism for capitalism, a real oxymoron. Boeing, $15 billion. General Motors, $6.8 billion. Intel, $6 billion. Alcoa, $5.8 billion. Foxconn, $4.8 billion. Ford Motors, $4.3 billion. NRG Energy, $4 billion. Cherney Energy, $3.8 billion. Tesla, $2.4 billion. Amazon, $2.3 billion. General Electric, $2.1 billion. And Nike, $2.1 billion. Others with over $1 billion were General Atomics, Nissan, Royal Dutch Shell, Lockheed, IBM, Dow, J.P. Morgan, Northrop Grumman, Duke Energy, Walt Disney, Continental Air, Volkswagen, and Exxon. So, the next time one of these mindless fools starts to attack socialism, ask them, is it not socialism when we the people, including the people who are working the hardest, when money is taken from us to give to these people? If you're a small business person in the United States and you choose the wrong side of the street to open at the wrong time of the year, if you don't have enough money for the right type of advertising, and in a year or two you go broke, nobody's going to come and help you and bail you out. Certainly not the landlords. They're the greedy bastards that cause a lot of problems. So you're stuck. And what we need more of in the United States is boutique small businesses. What we don't need are box stores. What we do need is one tax fits all corporations, 20%. What we don't need is the IRS, thousands of tax lawyers and CPAs to keep companies that are making billions of dollars in profits, getting billions more in subsidies from the United States government, we the taxpayer, and don't pay a penny in taxes. Not one nickel do they pay in corporate taxes. So when will anybody talk about that? How about never? Because then you would no longer have the deep pockets of the Business Roundtable, the American Chamber of Commerce, the Council on Foreign Relations, Wall Street, Big Pharma, Big Energy, Big Food, Big Education. Because all these benefit when we the people are kept ignorant of how much socialism we support through defective completely misguided neoliberal capitalism. Let's just be honest. If you're not smart enough to run a business successfully, then find something you can do successfully, contribute something. We do just the opposite. The people who are the fools in the room, and I said this yesterday, one of the most powerful people in America. Oh, you should have been a fly on the wall to that conversation. We're talking about one of the most single powerful people in America. I said, your industry, your people are the dumbest people I've ever met. You all couldn't do anything on your own because you don't know how anything works. All you know how to do is create debt and then exploit that debt. Because when you add in debt and leveraging a debt, like equity partners, those are the human parasites of our planet who cause suffering. And two of the campaigns are accepting money from these hedge funds and these equity partners. And all of them, all but two are accepting money from Wall Street. And these people fail constantly, all the time. We should have let every company go out of business and go through a proper restructuring. All the old management gone forever. The policies they had in place gone forever. And turn these over to people who would actually be looking to be paid only the same amount as the workers and let them earn a bonus based upon how stable and sustainable the company is, a different working model. But we don't do that. So you see, real socialism, which we need, along with real ethical capitalism, which is not what we're practicing, at least not. No, the small businesses do, and small entrepreneurs do. But I'm talking about the big guys in the room. They don't. They can't even spell irresponsible. But look at what we need. We need our public schools. And they should be free. We need the police. We need the fire department. We need the Coast Guard. We need a small peace-seeking military. Enough of a budget, about $200 billion, not the $1.5 trillion, to keep us safe. We need a nation of ambassadors who have a long history, not of making political contributions, but rather people who have a history of supporting peaceful initiative around the world to go forth as our peace ambassadors to heal wounds. We need to help restructure countries that we have helped destroy, from Libya and Syria, etc. We need a different type of agriculture. We need a different type of energy. And not one having anything to do with Greta Thunberg and that whole dog and pony show. That's disgusting what it's become. Now she's got her own television program on PBS. BBC. If the BBC wants to put an environmentalist on, let me name 10 outstanding environmentalists who could really do something constructive. But this isn't about Greta. This is about her parents and the people behind her, George Soros, Bill Gates. This is about controlling the message. And have they done that? Wow. And people are too naive to see the truth of it. So we need to stop accepting the manipulation of the media. So then, when you walk down a street, socialism should pay to see that that garbage is picked up. You have water going to your house. Your water isn't turned off in Flint, Michigan because you can't pay a water bill. We should have clinics, medical clinics, that treat people without bankrupting them. But you see, if you were looking to really make a change, you wouldn't have 4 minutes on one of the talk shows to explain. And then these harpies, these wingnuts from the Council on Foreign Relations, these other putrefying septic think tanks coming forth with such bravado to tell us what we should know. And the only truth that we should listen to is the truth emanating from their coarse and absolutely unfettered biases. Those are my thoughts. I'd like to hear yours. 888-874-4888 is our talk back number. We're going to take a break. And when we come back, I'd like to hear from you. And then we're going to help our sister station, WBAI, in a moment. Please stay with us. We don't have any calls coming in now, but if we do, I'll be happy to put you right up on the air. Just a few thoughts. WBAI is going through a rough time right now, as anyone who's been listening to it for a period of time knows, for several reasons, not the least of which there is a small group of individuals associated with KPFA out in Berkeley and people who previously tried to sell the station or swap its signal, and they're trying nonstop. They just got an article in the Los Angeles Times, which was really a terrible piece of journalism, a hit piece on Christine Blasdell, because she actually had the temerity to succeed in raising them some funds out at KPFK. And they don't like the idea these are health premiums. I didn't offer a health premium on BAI, except for books, audio, video, lectures, and film premieres, for 35 years. 35 years, and then only did I expand at the request of Berthold Reimers and Tony, who said that they needed more. And it worked. It helped them, paid some bills. But now the audiences have shrunk. We are at the lowest point in our listenership in the station's history. And the people such as Linda, Perry, Berthold, Andrew Katz, the few people paid at the station are not able to bring in enough money to pay for all of its bills. Last week, we finally were able to get some bills paid. I want to thank Berthold for doing that. And hundreds of premiums are now sent out. And everyone who ordered any premium, your premium should be to you in the very near future. So that's good news. But going forward, including from this current drive, there's just not going to be enough money there to pay for the premiums. That's just a hard reality. We just have too many bills, can't pay them. And unfortunately, when it comes to which do we pay, the electric, the salaries, the, you know, phone bill, which, and down at the bottom of that is the premiums. And yet I think it should be reversed, but that's just me, and I've told them that. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to do one more retreat, didn't want to, but if I don't, the reality is you're not going to get your premiums. So we're going to do a retreat, a 1 or 2 week retreat, in which case our goal is to be able to purchase all the outstanding premiums for this current drive. And that way people will get their premiums in a very timely manner. The retreats are not the anti-aging study. That's full. We don't have any more room at home or on campus. It's done. And we're enormous amount of work to get it ready to go. It's a redo of the first one, which was successful, to show that using the same protocol, we can get the same results, in which case then it becomes a gold standard and gets published in peer-reviewed literature and information disseminated, including to the people in the public who couldn't participate. No, this is a retreat. What a retreat is simple. You do as little or as much as you want. You come and exhale from all the stresses, pent-up issues. You can receive counseling, great gourmet meals, vegan meals, exercising of all types, from aerobics and biking and power walking and yoga, meditation, artist healing. It's just a wonderful environment, a phenomenal staff, a beautiful place, and where we ask people not to wear wristwatches because nothing starts on time by intent. So you're not rushing from one thing to another. No, you're just allowing yourself to rebalance. If you think you deserve it, fine. This is the place to do it. Online is Luann Panessi. She's the person that you would speak with who will see if you're the right person. Hi, Luann.
Hi, Gary. Yeah, we are filling up. We have a great group coming down. And if people are interested in coming down, please do give me a call. I am at 903-881-7008. Again, it's 903-881-7008. I interview everyone to make sure it's the right event for you. And I'm absolutely amazed at the turnout. Every single retreat of some of the most amazing people that come down. They're looking for like-minded people. They're looking to get more insights about what's going on in the world, about sustainable living, which is a big topic. People are all asking me, will Gary talk about sustainability with all this chaos going on? And I said, yes, he will. So if people are interested, call me at 903-881-7008. That's 903-881-7008.
In fact, this week you receive all the equipment for the new hydroponic house we're designing and building, and then we start growing. So yes. When people get down there, part of the sustainability lecture I'll be doing is actually showing them from seed to salad how they can do this at home. Best places in America and around the world to live, the most safe places as far as not being impacted by global warming. So we go into great depth. But the most important thing I discuss is critical thinking. That's the number one topic I discuss every day. How do we create a more critical, open, and progressive mind thought to resolve issues? Thank you, Luann. We're going to go out of our show today with listening to Gordon from Montauk, who wants to talk about empowerment comment on the topic. Hi, Gordon. You're on.
Hey, thank you, Gary. I know we're heading off there real quick. I just want to mention individual power and being responsible for ourselves. And you like solutions. And if your listeners would contact their local city, state officials to demand legislation that if you do not supply your tax returns, you're off the ballot for president.
What about going one step further, Gordon? Why not say we take all money out, therefore no PAC, no special corporation, the Koch brothers, George Soros, nobody could determine the outcome of the election. If we want to actually believe one vote from one person, now right now with Bloomberg and others, you have one of the richest men in the world, one of the top 10 richest men in the world, who can buy votes. So how you would do it, you would have everyone who wanted to run for an office, let's just say for president, they would submit a resume of their qualifications. They would then have to address 100 issues, for example, on global warming, on health care, on, for example, prison reform, all the different things that impact us. Then it goes up online so everybody can then read what a person has to say, what are their beliefs. And that way, then you go through a lottery. You then select people to debate. So you have an opportunity to hear what a person sounds like and how good they are in extemporaneous thinking. Because otherwise, it's all kabuki. It's all a fraud. It's all politics is a fraud. I'll tell you why. Because what you have are focus groups. These are groups of people who are paid to see what was the best way for a person to respond. It doesn't matter what they feel. It doesn't matter what they said. All the focus group says you have to be more this way. Well, that's not being authentic. Then someone else is controlling the message. You're merely delivering it. And then you meet with advisors who counsel you. Here's what you say for this. Here's what you say for that. I don't want to hire someone or put someone in position of power who are dim-witted. I want critical thinkers. I want people who have a humanistic value system. I want a person that will not allow a homeless person to sleep on the streets or a senior citizen to go hungry. I want to know that we're not going to have a single child in the United States go to bed food insecure each day, which 16 million do now. I want to hear what that person, I want to see how they're going to do it. And the only way you'll know that is when you have them without any advisors or anyone else. And so you are hearing from them. Because at the end of the day, we're rewarding a person, not a committee, not a group, a person. We're giving them undue power, undue influence, undue prestige, undue wealth. And we shouldn't allow a person who is working for the public to go into office with thousands and come out with tens of millions, like Nancy Pelosi and these other fools, And that's exactly what we do today. They can engage in insider trading. You can't. You go to jail for it. Martha Stewart went to jail not for insider trading, but for lying about it. These people engaged in insider trading become multimillionaires, and we consider that okay. So that's the kind of election I'd like to see. Thank you very much, Gordon, for your comments. And for all of you listening, look forward to sharing more tomorrow. Have a nice day, everyone.